Please turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And you've actually got part of the verse right behind us. But we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5. And as you find your place there, I'd just like to tell you how much Nancy and I have been looking forward to being up with you. I see some familiar faces. Others we're looking forward to getting to know for the first time. And we hope that it's going to be a real time of joy in the Lord and blessing from Him. Especially for the theme. And walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. That's probably the most needed theme anyone could ever study and give their time to understanding. So we trust that as we start tonight and go all the way through Sunday, that we're going to be really gaining some understanding on this great theme that's been selected. Special thanks to Dave and Ruth, too. They've been very special to us for many years. And I want you to know we've been here before. I guess it was in 1987. Some that are from this assembly, we came to spend some time with our good friends Les and Peg Green. And of course, Les is with the Lord, but served the Lord faithfully for many years on the mission field. Other missionaries that we know that were from this very place, perhaps some that you know of, and especially as we were hearing from the missionary letter or from the letter of national believers that are suffering greatly in other parts of the world. And we really need to say, Lord, we want to be serious about living the Christian life. And so we're given this exhortation and also instruction in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. Would you notice it with me, please? I'm reading in the New King James translation, but whatever translation you're using, I'm sure you have no trouble following right along. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Shall we also turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to just read the first four verses, Romans chapter 8, all about walking in the Spirit and also not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and on account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Shall we ask the Lord once more in a word of prayer to guide us by the Spirit that we might walk in the truth? Shall we pray? Father, we take just another moment to remind our hearts that we're in desperate need of Your Spirit to guide us into all truth, to help us to walk a path of righteousness that we might be able to be effective and be serious about the Christian life. Father, I thank You for each and every one that's here. I pray that You would speak to each and every heart as well. Lord, we've come from so many different places, some to the north, others south, east and west. And we've met together here in a very special place, a place that's known as a place of Your presence. We pray now more than any other time in our life as we wait upon You, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts. Make it real to us. Help us just to, for this little bit of time in Your Word, just to shut out everything around us, even our good friends right beside us. Help us just to concentrate on Your Word and allow Your Spirit to communicate with our heart as never before what it truly means to walk and live the Spirit-filled life. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, walking in the Spirit is not something that's only in Galatians, but even in the book of Ephesians, we're told to be filled with the Spirit, not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, let Him be controlling us. Because while we're talking of walking in the Spirit, that's really what we're talking about. A Spirit-controlled life. To walk just takes one step after another, step by step, even as we've been singing and even as we see on the banner behind us, each of the steps of walking in the Spirit, it's a step-by-step process. It doesn't come just all of a sudden, you see. Now that I have accepted Christ as my Savior, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, it's just like a little baby learns to take one step at a time. So we want to establish, as we start our study this weekend, what it means to walk in the Spirit. And really, if you take the overall meaning, what it means to be Spirit-filled or controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, this is something I've been praying about for a long time. I hope you have too. If not, you can start right now. Even as we go through this study, say, Lord, help me to understand what this means. Because when the Lord Jesus came to earth, He came to lay down His life for you and for me and for everybody living on the entire planet. It meant that much to Him to come personally. Not only that, but to continue the work that He started. It means so much to Him that He would not entrust His continuing work in your life and in my life to anyone here. He wouldn't entrust it to an angel. He wouldn't entrust it to Moses. He wouldn't even entrust it to the Apostle Paul, as great as he is. He said, this job can only be done by God Himself. The Lord Jesus, when He met with His disciples, He said, I'm going away to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you all by yourself. I'm going to send you another comforter, a helper. Now, you know what a helper does, don't you? He helps you. And so He said, I'm going to send you somebody to really help you and help you with what you need. Not only is He going to be a helper to help you along, like someone called alongside of you to help, but He's going to be a guide. You know, when you're walking, you need someone to guide you along sometimes, especially if you're just working your way into an area that you've never been. He said, I've got a guide who's going to guide you into all truth. And then He says, this one that I'm sending, God Himself, not only be a helper and a guide, He's going to be a teacher. He's going to help you understand all the things I've been teaching you for these 3 years. That's what the Lord said to His disciples, but we take it very personally, don't we? That the Lord also means it for us. Now, you know what a teacher does. He gives you understanding, but the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's much better than the teacher that you might have at school or even at home school. He says, this teacher is going to bring all things back to your remembrance. You know how when you study something in school and it comes time for the test and you think, oh, I know it. I can't remember exactly how the answer goes, but I remember it, but I can't remember it all. Well, the Holy Spirit, He's the best teacher you can get. He not only gives you understanding, but He even helps you to remember what He taught you so that when the tests come, and believe me, they do, maybe not here yet, but they will, you're going to need to remember this. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's able to bring all things back to your remembrance and remind you the things that the Lord Jesus taught. And that's what we really need if we're going to walk. And you see, the Lord has entrusted this ministry so much to His Spirit that He doesn't say just walk in Christ, even though that's true. And He doesn't just say walk by faith, even though that's true. But now He wants it to be so personal that He says, I want you to walk in the Spirit. That you could have a living and loving relationship with God Himself, walking day by day in the Spirit and moment by moment. That each step we take is going to be a step that's going to be known, controlled, and also enjoyed by the Spirit of God. Now, one of the prophets that we named as we went through our Old Testament books was the prophet Amos. And in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And the answer is, somebody knows Amos. The answer is no, exclamation point, even though it's not written there, but we understand it. Two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. Here you are walking in the Spirit. Now you can't walk in the Spirit unless you be agreed with the Spirit. And so the Bible makes it very clear that we're not to grieve the Spirit of God by whom we're sealed. In the book of Ephesians it tells us that. And then in 1 Thessalonians it says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, you need to be in agreement with the Spirit of God. So in order to do that, and to really walk in the Spirit, we need to know more and more about the Spirit. So as I prayed, searched the Scripture, and say, Lord, help me to know what it means to walk in the Spirit so that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, I came to Romans chapter 8. And I want to tell you, Romans chapter 8 is the most Spirit-centered chapter in all your Bible. It's amazing. Seven different things that we're going to learn about the Spirit of God as we learn to walk in the Spirit. And if we learn to walk in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, it's that simple. And I'll be very simplistic with you because that's the only way I can understand it. But I want you to understand what the Bible says so that we can all gain the benefit of what it means to truly walk in the Spirit. Now I want you to look with me, please, in Romans chapter 8. Notice in verse 1 that when we start out, it starts out with a great verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a great start, isn't it? No condemnation, now I dread. You see, we were under the just condemnation of the law because of sin that entered the world and death by sin, and everyone who's been born on planet Earth is under condemnation. God's wrath rests upon us. John tells us that in John chapter 3, the last verse of John 3, 36, tells us that the wrath of God abides on us if we've not believed. And so when we're born into this world, born as sinners, conceived in sin, and sinned not only by nature, but we're sinners also by our own actions. We're really sinners and rebels, enemies against a holy God. And because of that, he says, we're under the just condemnation, and it's almost ready to fall. All the way through the book of Romans, starting in Romans chapter 1, all the way through chapter 7, we're talking, and Paul is building the case as the Spirit of God leads him to write about all having sinned and fall short of God's glory. Not only that, but the wages of sin being death. Not only that, but when you come to the end of Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul himself, realizing what a sinner he is and what we are, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Pretty miserable situation, wouldn't you say? But now, thanks be to God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has set us free and delivered us from the wrath to come, that when you come to Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it's great that it begins, there's now no condemnation. Therefore, there's no condemnation because of all the things that have been written and all the things that have been accomplished. Now, beyond the shadow of doubt and without any hesitation, we can write and we can read, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But you know, that's the condition, isn't it? If you're not in Christ Jesus, then you're still under the condemnation of the law. And you're still under the wrath of God, ready to fall at any time. Under that kind of condemnation. That's no way to live, is it? You see, only once you accept Christ as your personal Savior can you know the joy of your sins forgiven and the assurance of a home in heaven. and to know that you belong to the family of God. And only then could you ever walk in the Spirit. So just have to always put a disclaimer at the very beginning of a text like this, especially when we're talking of a theme of walking in the Spirit. If you don't know the Lord, you can't walk in the Spirit. No, that's blunt, isn't it? But it's true. So you have to be in Christ Jesus to be free from condemnation and to also have the privilege of walking in the Spirit. You notice what he says in verse 1. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Isn't that great? It's really, in essence, what Galatians 5:16 is saying. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Romans 8:1 says, these are the ones who don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know, you can't have it two ways. You can't walk two different directions. You can't walk in two different places. It's either in the Spirit or in the flesh. In Christ or out of Christ. Not condemned or condemned. There's no middle ground. Just like when you're doing the song a minute ago. Half stood up, the other half stood up. But there was nobody, except for me and Nancy, that didn't stand up. We thought it was middle ground, but you understand. You can't have it both ways. It's either in Christ or out of Christ. Condemned or free. Which one are you? It's going to be proven, as we'll see in just a moment, by the way you walk, if you're walking in the Spirit. Notice in verse 2, please, because he presents before us two different laws. First of all, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." And the second law is, "From the law of sin and death." So you got two laws. The law of the Spirit of life, that's in Christ. We're free in that. But you've also got the law of sin and death. What law do you think that would be? Well, it's easy to figure out the law. Because the law of sin and death says, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And when you do, it brings death. The law, even though it's holy and perfect, because we're not, it brought about our death. It's the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death. It's just like a bird can overcome the law of gravity. And because of aerodynamics, superseding the law of gravity, he can fly up above all the rest. And that's what God wants us to do, to follow the law of the Spirit so that we're free from the law of sin and death. Now, I know you've been under Uncle Dave's ministry for a long time, many of you. You've got a lot of memory verses. I bet you even know the Ten Commandments, don't you? Just wondered if we might have a volunteer help us to understand the law of sin and death. Anybody like to tell us what those are? No, I thought there might be. No? Tell me one of them. Anybody? Yes. Thou shalt not steal. That's one. Nine more to go. Anybody else? Yes. Thou shalt not covet. That's my least favorite one. Yes, on the back. Can't hear. Oh, thou shalt honor your... That's a positive one, isn't it? And that's the first one with the promise. Next one. Yes. Very good. No graven image. Yes. Not to use the name of the Lord your God in vain. Bear false witness. In other words, don't lie, right? Okay. All right. We got six. Yes. Thou shalt not kill. Was that back here? Thou shalt not kill. Okay. No other gods before me. You got two more to go. Are you looking in your Bible? All right. Go ahead. Anybody else without a Bible? Yes. What is it? Okay. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And out of the Bible says? Last one. Got one back here. Oh, don't. You got all ten of them. I'll tell you what. That's pretty good. You know, a lot of people couldn't name all 10. In fact, a lot of times when I'm talking to people and I ask them if they're a believer, oh, yes, I'm a believer. I said, well, how do you become a believer? He said, by keeping the 10 commandments. I said, what are they? You know they can't tell me what they are. And I said, well, I know it's 10. It's hard to remember all 10. I mean, you got 10 numbers in your phone number. It's hard to remember all 10. I said, just tell me one of them. And they can't think. I know you're putting them on the spot. I'll show you an easy way to remember. If you just go from your head down to your toe, you get all 10 in order, right? You got one head, no other gods before me. Your eyes are next, no graven image. Your mouth comes next, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And your chin, when you rest it, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Then you got two shoulders, honor your father and your mother. And then your throat, don't kill. And then, in your heart, thou shalt not commit adultery, because that's where it starts. And then to your hands, thou shalt not steal. And my two legs, they bear up my body. I'm not supposed to bear false witness. In other words, don't lie. And then my feet. You know what the last one was thou shalt not covet. But it also says, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house or anything in your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife. So I figured I'd have to use my feet to run over to my neighbor's house to see what's over there. Thou shalt not covet. So you go from your head down to your toe and you remember all the 10 commandments in order. But the problem is, even though there are 10 of them, it's not multiple choice, as they say, right? So it's not that, well, I broke one or two or a few, but I haven't broken them all. But the only problem is if you break one, then you've broken them all. That's what the book of James tells us. Now, if the law came to point out our sin, and it points out truly that we've all sinned, and then it tells us that the soul that sinneth must die, what does that mean for all of us? If we've all sinned, then we're all dead. There's no hope. But that's the law of sin and death. You see, that's the way it works. The law of sin and death condemns us all. We're on our way to the grave. But there's a greater law, and that's the law of the Spirit of life. And it supersedes and overcomes the law of sin and death because one who never, ever sinned has kept the law perfectly for us. Look, if you will, in verse 2 again. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. How did it do it? Well, I don't know how you pray when you get on an airplane, but I pray this way. I say, Lord, pick us up in your power and set us down in your tender mercies. Is that the way you pray when you get on an airplane? I heard of a pessimist. As they were taxiing down the runway, he was so scared. And he told the guy beside him, he said, this thing will never get off the ground. Never get off the ground. And they kept picking up speed. He said, never get off the ground. It'll never get up. And all of a sudden, they left the ground. You know what the pessimist says then? We'll never be able to land this thing safely. Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people think. But that's the law, you see, of sin and death. Is there enough power? Really? I mean, it's going to take a lot of power, isn't it, to break the law of sin and death? Because that law was established and set by the Lord Himself. Right from Mount Sinai, through Moses, God Himself wrote the law on the tablets, delivered them to the children of Israel. And Moses, before he even got down the mountain, you remember what he did? He broke them, just like we've all broken them. Written with the finger of God. It's going to have to be a pretty powerful law to overcome that kind of statement. I want to tell you the law of the Spirit of life is powerful enough because it was the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead and made us alive together with Him and raised us up and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? If you are, there's no condemnation. If you are, you're following the Spirit of life in Christ. And you have superseded by God's power, perfected in our weakness, the law of sin and death. If you've done that, then you're ready to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Look, if you will, at something else in verse 3 of Romans chapter 8. It makes it very clear with this great contrast. Because in this contrast, it tells us that the law could not do it, but then it tells us that the Lord could do it. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. You see, while the law told us what to do and what not to do, it couldn't make us do it. It'd be like taking your temperature with a thermometer. And if it wasn't exactly what it's supposed to be, swallow the thermometer to make it right. It just wouldn't work. The law told us the perfection that God requires. But it couldn't work that perfection in us because we're imperfect people. But what the law could not do, the Lord could do. We have a bank down in Charlotte. We have a few banks, probably a few too many banks. But there's a bank down there that says, we're the can-do bank. So I needed some money one day. And I saw their little logo. I thought, boy, the can-do bank. That's what I need to hear. We can do it. So I called them up and said, I noticed this is the can-do bank, isn't it? And they said, oh, yes, sir. And I said, well, I need some money. And they said, well, you'll have to come in and we'll have a little visit and give us some information. And I said, but you are the can-do bank, aren't you? And they said, yes, sir, you come on down here. And I said, well, can do. Went down. I said, no can do. Wait a minute, I thought you were the can-do bank. And they said, well, yes, if you qualify. It's the same way with the law. If you could keep the law, you'd be righteous. No can do. You can't do it. But there's got to be a way, or else we'd be all lost, hopeless. God said, I can do it. I'll send my son. He'll live the perfect life, fulfill the requirements of the law, and yet he'll suffer the death that you and I should suffer because of our disobedience to the law of God. And because he did this, Romans chapter 8, verse 3 makes it clear that here's the contrast. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. How did he do that? Well, Galatians, same book that we take our theme from, it says that he was made a curse because cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, and Jesus Christ actually took the curse of the law for us that we might go free. I don't know about you, but that thrills my heart. I hope it does yours. To realize that someone could love someone like us so much that they would not only give their life for us, but present to us the gift of God's righteousness. By grace, you can be saved. God's righteousness at Christ's expense. He paid for it, and he wants you to take it freely. Have you done that? If you have, you're in Christ Jesus. If you have, there's no condemnation. If you have, you've overpowered or overcome the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. And if you have, now in verse 4, you're ready to walk in the Spirit. And so you notice it, please. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So here's the real question that we have tonight before us. And it's the question I want to ask you. But even more, I want the Spirit of God to ask every one of us. Am I in Christ? And if I am, so glad I can't be condemned because Christ was condemned in my place. And if I'm in Christ, am I walking in the Spirit? In other words, do I allow the Spirit of God to actually take control of my life? That each step that I'm taking, that I'm allowing the Lord to lead me. and walk the way He wants me to walk. You see, just like when we walk, we think about where we're going. It's not that way for the walking in the Spirit. It's not where we're going, but how we're walking, how we're going. If you're led by the Spirit of God and you're walking in the Spirit, you've got the characteristics there that will prove it to you. If your life is characterized by love, joy, peace, these 9 fruit of the Spirit, do they characterize your life? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Are these things operating in your life? If they are, those are the indicators that you're walking step by step in the Spirit. But since He doesn't lead us down the path of the flesh, if what characterizes your life are things like envy and jealousy and anger and slander and adultery and idolatry and all these things like murder and lying, well, then we say, well, we're not walking in the Spirit, but we're walking in the flesh. All of my African friends helped me greatly while we spent those years in Zaire. One of them told me, they said, you can't walk in the flesh and in the Spirit at the same time. You'll split right down the middle. I don't want you to do that. It gets pretty gory, you know. But here's the question. Which one are you? And if you're saying in your heart right now, I know the Lord, but I'm not walking with Him, I don't know any better time than right now, at this very moment, to say, Lord, I know I've been walking the wrong way. I've been walking my own way. There's a way that seems right to a man. Its end is the way of destruction. I've been walking in the flesh and doing all the things that lead me away from You step by step. I want you to just, in your mind and in your heart, when we close in prayer in just a moment, I want you to tell the Lord right now, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm not trying to put words in your heart. But if you really want this to count, why not tell the Lord right now, I want to walk in the Spirit. I belong to You. I'm glad I'm not condemned. I'm glad I'm free to live in the Spirit. I want to walk it as well as talk it. And walk in the Spirit so that I don't follow the ways of the flesh. Would you consider that carefully in your heart right now as we close every eye, bow our heads, and come to a closing word of prayer? Let's pray together.